What if you turn in the Word of God to a very, very familiar portion of Scripture, which is Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 18. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 18. This morning's sermon is entitled, When We Lay Down Our Lives, Christ Builds His Kingdom. When we lay down our lives, Christ builds His kingdom. Let us read the word of God for our profit, for our instruction. Therefore, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being the form of God, did not consider it a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. So when we lay down our lives, when I lay down my life, when you, as it were, lay down your life, when we humble ourselves, and instead of being on our throne, we're at the altar, Christ can work. Christ can work. Hallelujah. I think the title should have been up there, but I'm just giving you, even from this short reading, five characteristics of humility. Five characteristics of a humble man, a humble lady, a humble boy, a humble girl. First one, it makes itself, the mark of humility, it makes itself of no reputation. When we lay down our lives, we make ourselves of no reputation. And it takes upon itself, number two, the form of a servant. In other words, we don't tread on people to boss it, to lord it, but we'd rather serve than to be served. And any leader in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, any leader in his church must of necessity have this demeanor, that they would serve rather than be served. Jesus Christ gave us a wonderful example, did he not, of even washing the disciples' feet. This too. He gave his life as a ransom. He came not to be served, but to serve. So if you have aspirations for being a leader, then you die to self. You must have a servant's heart. that applies to impact, connect leaders, it applies to Sunday school workers, it applies to whatever we do in the name of the Lord Jesus. We should do it out of a selfless heart. Thirdly, it possesses lowliness of mind. See, all these are characteristic of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you as was found in Christ Jesus. Fourthly, it esteems others better than themselves. When we lay down our lives, we esteem others better than ourselves. We're looking out, as the reading says, for other people's interests rather than just our own. And we know that when we bless somebody, when we're bearing somebody else's burdens, a burden falls off us as well. And fifthly, it is obedient to God at all cost. When we lay down our lives, we want to do God's will. What is pleasing to the Lord? Indeed, our Lord Jesus Christ said, I've not come to do my will, but the will of my Father. And he was able to say, as he approached the cross, it is for this reason I have come. It is for this mission that I have come to earth, to die for sinners, to give my life so that others will live. He completed the Father's mandate. I just want to go back to the first one for a moment, because there has been some controversy over this. It makes it, in terms of a characteristic of humility, the first one I said was, it makes itself of no reputation. And in our reading, verse 7, it said, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So let us be clear. What did Christ, as he came to earth, leave behind? It says, he made himself of no reputation. One of the songs we sung this morning said that he left his glory behind. And that's something he did do. He emptied himself. This is the Lord of the universe. This is our Creator. This is the Word. This is the one who was with Father and Holy Spirit right at the beginning. He emptied himself of his glory. What else did our Lord Jesus do when he came to earth? When he thought no more of his reputation, but only of the Father's business of saving sinners, of setting people free. Well, he left his omnipresence. He left his omnipresence behind. He could no longer be everywhere. There was limitations to our Lord Jesus in his bodily form. He left behind his omnipotence because he could only do miracles after the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. He didn't do miracles as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man who had been empowered, baptized by the Holy Spirit. So our Lord Jesus emptied himself of his many privileges and powers. But, he never, never ceased to be God. He did not empty himself of the nature of God. He's very God and very man. What a Saviour. What a Saviour. This is Lord, and you know, be imitators of Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. So humility, when we lay down our lives, Christ can build his kingdom. Being humble means that I want to conform my will to the will of the Lord. What's pleasing to you, Lord? What do you want? It may cost me, yes, I know. But if I'm being conformed to your will, your grace will be sufficient. And look, he will never give you an assignment which he's not going to meet those needs. He may test you, but he will be glorified. See, I said just now, our lives should, as it were, be an altar rather than a throne. Am I building my life, as it were, on an altar or upon a throne? If we're building our lives on a throne, we get puffed up. We become egocentric. We need to esteem others better than ourselves. We won't be after the chief seat. See, the opposite scenario is that if we're on a self-made throne, our concern is what is best for me, what is best for you, rather than looking out for others. And the Lord, even in this passage, through the Apostle Paul, is saying, live unselfish lives. Live unselfishly. Turn away from any selfish ambition or conceited attitude. If God and He has made us men and women, let us not make ourselves to be gods. Our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, Jesus, willingly laid His life down for others. He was made obedient even to the death of the cross. He was lowly in heart, lowly in mind. And of course there is a false humility which we have to guard against. He who brags of his humility will soon lose it. He who brags of his humility will soon lose it. And I recognize for myself one of our great dangers, one of my great dangers, is spiritual pride. What happens then? The Lord becomes our servant rather than our master. This can happen in a church setting. The outcome is that we want God to bless our plans rather than His. And of course, that is in direct opposition to what James writes in his letter. I've been thinking so much, even in recent days, about what God is asking us to do in terms of physically building this church and extending it and extending the annex and saying, Lord, we want you in the driving seat. We're not asking you to bless our plans, Philip's plans, anybody else's plans. We're asking you to reveal your heart, and then you will bless it and you will build your kingdom. We will lay down our lives. We will lay down our plans. You will have the glory. And the reading which we'll be looking at in a moment tells us that Christ Jesus is building his church. The gates of Hades will not win. They cannot prevail. Death has no power over it. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. And I'm thinking, because I had in my mind my plans, what should happen next. We had a wonderful prayer. I believe it was a prayer meeting which God had called us to meet on Monday evening. And as we prayed, as we listened to each other, as we listened to the word of God, God was doing something in my life there and then. So at the end, I could say, I've total peace about this. God's will is being done. That's what it's about. Not my plans, God's. And he promises that when we're obedient to his plans for our life, for the life of the fellowship, he will bless. He will prosper. Will it be without a fight? Of course not. The enemies of the hellish forces will be opposed to it. But hey, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. If God says do it, we do it. Hallelujah. The gates of Hades cannot win. Blessed be his name. And so again, that to me is an encouragement of why we should come together to pray, to seek his face. Because when we seek his face, he answers. When we call on his name, he comes to us. What a good God he is. What a good God he is. And so we are asking God for us, our own lives individually. I want to die to whatever is of me, Lord. But I know what you have for me. I know what you have for my family. I know what you have for my loved ones is far better than I could ever dream of. As long as I'm submitting to you and yielding to you, then I know I will be in your purposes, and you will give me the help. You will give me the power. You will give me the ability to see it through. We can still be like the world. Tomorrow I will do this, that, and t'other. I will build a bigger barn. I will move house. I will go for that job. And it might be in God's will that we do those things, or any of those things. But unless we've sought him, we won't know. That's why I said at the communion table, at the breaking of bread service, how much time have we spent with Jesus this week? How much time have we spent in his word? How much time have we been away from him? How much time may we have been arguing with this one and that one, trying to get our way or trying to make our point instead of yielding to Jesus and submitting to one another? And we lose the spirit and the enemy wins. How much time have we spent with Jesus? And then we will say, well, God's will, we will do this, we will do that, because it's God's will. And we're resigned to it. You see, again, we're like the world at times, isn't it? Oh, just give me a happy life. Give me a peaceful life. Take all the troubles. Take all this away. It's what the world says. But God says, well, if you're in my will, I'm your shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. Hallelujah. I will lead you in those green pastures, but there may be trials and testings, and that's to wean you from this world. It's to wean you from your fleshly desires. It's to make you more heavenly minded, eternal perspective, so that you can be a faithful witness here on earth. And see your prayers answered. See God glorified in your lives, in your family's life, in your business, at school, at college. Because you're saying, not my will, yours be done. Not my way, your way. You see, true humility makes way for Christ. True humility makes way for Jesus Christ. Humility is honest, is transparent, is pure. It will also admit when it's wrong. A humble person will say, hey, I got that wrong. Please forgive me. I'm sorry for saying that. I'm sorry for having that attitude. Forgive me. And we forgive as we have been forgiven. May we not seek a reputation amongst our peers. The reputation that you and I must be seeking after, that we must be going after, is be like Christ, who made himself of no reputation. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The greatest men, the greatest women, are those who are humble before God. The tallest men, the tallest women, are those who have learnt to bow their knee before God. When we lay down our lives, Christ can build his kingdom. So let's just turn in the final moments to Matthew chapter 16. And our Lord Jesus Christ is having a conversation with Peter. We have in these words, in these verses, Peter's confession of faith, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Of course, there's been much confusion about this verse, this last verse, which I've just read, when Jesus says, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Christ was not saying that, Peter, you're the rock I'm building my church on. He's not saying that at all. You're my first pope. No, he's not saying that at all. Peter had made a dramatic confession. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Peter, this is the Christ. This is the anointed one. This is the one whom God has sent. It was a revelation. It was a confession of faith from Peter. And all who name the name of Jesus, confess his name, that he is the sent one from God. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. He is the coming King. Hated hell cannot defeat. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. There's much more to it than that, but that's simply put. You see, there's one church that Jesus Christ is building. That's his. The power of death cannot prevent the advance of the kingdom, nor claim the victory over those who belong to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. The forces of hell cannot overthrow. When Jesus says, I will build my church, he's talking about the universal church made up of believers in every nation and every kingdom of this world. Hallelujah. Those who have gone before, those who are yet to come. But he's also very interested in the local church, which makes up part of the universal church, and this he will build. Hallelujah. And I believe that as the leaders, as we lay down our lives before Christ, we look after each other, we expand the kingdom of God by reaching out to the lost, by preaching the gospel, the powerful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we're not ashamed of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we reach out, as we are full of the Holy Spirit, as we empty ourselves of ourselves and be baptized in the Spirit of God, get the mind of the Lord, he will build his church. That's his promise. Sometimes I've got in the way. Have you got in the way? I don't know. I confess it, and I'm determined, whatever time I may have left, that God will help me, that you will help me, that I will help you, God will help you, that we surrender our lives to the Lord and lay our lives down so that he will build what he wants to build, what he builds last. What he builds through you, what he builds through you will last. Hallelujah. It's precious. It's precious. It cannot be lost. It cannot be defiled. What he's building through you to extend his kingdom, the fruit that you are bearing and will bear, it will last. It will last. Jim's plans, if it's just Jim's plans, unfortunately, in the day of judgment, they will just burn up as hay, wood, stubble. But God's plans, hallelujah. And that's the place we're in. That's the place the leaders of this fellowship are in. That is the place I hope you have come to or will come to in the coming days. That you will get excited. That you will willingly make yourself of no reputation. But you say, hey, I'm rising up in Christ. Christ is going to be glorified. I'm laying down my life and my reputation so that Christ is seen in me and through me. Part of the reading, our first reading, said that, and we preached on this a few months back, that Christ's will is that you, me, calling you Life Church, shine as lights, shine as stars in this wicked and perverse generation. Some of you get the emails from Christian Concern, Christian Witness, and one or two others, and it's It's just horrific, isn't it, what's going on in the nation, what's being planned in our schools, what's being planned. This family day conference, be much in prayer for it. I believe it's going to be a tool which Christ will use to encourage our parents, to encourage the family of God, to stand true for biblical principles and to resist the pride, the tide of evil which is coming. And it is evil. It's from the pit. I'm not surprised. These are the last days. Christ is coming back soon. But you can shine as stars. Christian families can shine as stars. Grandparents, shine as stars. Uncle and aunts, shine as stars. Broader New Life Church, shine as stars. Hallelujah. So what sort of home are we giving to Jesus? None of us are our own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, as we conclude. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Don't be soulish. Be in the Spirit. Hallelujah. You're not your own. So therefore, I'm laying down what is me and embracing what is of the Lord. And he will build his kingdom. Another verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 says, and I'm reading from the New International Version. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? No. We preach Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We preach Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul could say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, for I resolved, and again quoting from the NIV, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? That your faith might not rest in man's wisdom, but on God's power. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. I pray that each one of us will seek to walk in humility before God, before each other. The Word of God says in James, you know, submit to God. Submit to God. Learn of the Lord. Spend time with him. Feed upon him. Let his life flow through you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a home for the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Submit to his plans. Calling you, Life Church, submit to his plans. And when the devil comes knocking on your door, resist him. He will flee from you. Hallelujah. Amen. There are many, many precious promises in the Word of God to encourage us to stand firm on Jesus. That if we take up the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be with us. He will uphold us. He will strengthen us. He will fulfill his will. We're going to sing that hymn, Standing on the Promises. May you be encouraged as you sing it. May the Lord speak to you. May the Lord speak to me.